We are here talking about hair with Jason Kaplowitz. Hello, Jason.
What's going on, Ra? How are you?
Good, good, good. Super excited to talk to you. I've actually heard you speak a little bit. I was scrolling through some podcasts about 2 years ago, and I heard you speaking about some things, and I really liked how you are holistic with your approach. It's not so much just about the hair. You include gut health. You include mineral analysis. And I thought that was really interesting. And that was a few years ago, and I forgot about everything. So I'm super excited to get reminded of your knowledge. I just checked out your website, and I've been looking into your stuff. So tell me a little bit about how you start with your clients if they come to you. Like, where do you start at when they're just like, hey, I want to know a little bit about hair. Where do you start?
Yeah. So, I mean, the first thing that we look at is the symptoms, and usually it's hair shedding. It's almost subclinical, because if there's not any other concomitant things going on, you know, they'll say, well, my only issue is hair shedding, but that's a signal that something is going off in the body. So it starts with a consultation. It starts with really peering into the psyche and what's happening. Is there stress going on? And then, you know, are there any other conditions? Are there any other physical symptoms? How's digestion, sleep, libido, all the main things that we look at. And then we'll do a hair tissue mineral analysis and see what's going on underneath the surface.
You mentioned the psyche, and I actually thought that was interesting, because I did see mindset on your website, and then you just also mentioned stress. So it's something that not a lot of people think about when it comes to hair, is like, what are their thoughts and how are their emotions affecting them? Because that can definitely come out in their hair, I'm assuming. Before we talk more about that, I did want to ask you about how long you've been into the hair field, because you didn't start off there, right? You were working with hernia, and could you give us a rundown of where you came from and how you got into this?
Yeah. So I started my career as a consultant for hernia and was in devices. And that's how I grew up. But what always interested me was that the health of the patient greatly affected the outcome of the surgery, so that it wasn't always dependent on the surgeon repair. It actually had to do with how your body repaired itself. And when I started coaching clients on health, it was typical things, chronic conditions, digestion, gut health, weight loss, weight gain. And what I found is that accidentally their hair was improving. And I realized that people really care more about that anyway than their health. So I shifted and also tried to reverse engineer what I did, not only for myself, because I was trying to improve my allergies. I had set out to, that was another thing that I was helping others with, but And then I noticed my hair was starting to get better and fuller and come back to levels almost near college. You know, it does change as we age, but there are things that we could do to mitigate it. And so it was really accidental. And then I started reverse engineering that process and trying to hone in on ways to augment these pathways and get the whole body working as a system.
In your opinion, why does hair grow?
You know, I was thinking about this question. There's probably more reasons than we know. So from an evolutionary perspective, it was warmth, right? But it's also a standard of beauty. There's kind of a, you know, a mating call, an element of that we're looking at, you know, each other's hair before we decide who to mate with. That's Native Americans talk about how they use their hair to track enemies and animals. And one of the punishments when they would be held captive is that they would cut off their hair, so they would lose their tracking mechanism. And we can understand that today by, if we're feeling fear, we can feel the hairs on the back of our neck rise up. So we do have receptors there. It is also, it's storage. So if our body is under stress, we can pull minerals from the hair into the body to regulate the mineral balance. It's also excretory. So we can get rid of toxins through the hair. Heavy metals was often found in here. So those are 5-6 functions. There's probably thousands, honestly.
That's so you, after working with hair, you are under the gnosis that there is some sort of external sensory function as the Native Americans.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And even from a health standpoint, there's so many markers in there. I'm looking at about 30 minerals and what those ratios mean, but there are thousands of data points within that. So it is a bit esoteric. It is a bit beyond what we can measure. We're looking at a picture of it, but yeah, absolutely. I think there's definitely spiritual information in the hair. I mean, we have the trope in the biblical story of Samson and Delilah, mm-hmm. where, you know, Samson lost his strength through his hair. So yeah, it's an interesting thing to think about. And often when people are losing it, that's one of the first thing that diminishes is their sense, their self-confidence. And while that seems a little bit trite, or it seems a little bit, you know, self-centered, there's something to it. You're actually losing a part of yourself. So there is something that's going on. Now, I think you could, you know, especially men, you could look great without hair. It's not the be all end all. You know, you could look like The Rock or Jason Statham or whatever. You know, those are good looking dudes. They're fine without it. But the fact that you lose it and it corresponds to this element of psyche, I think there is something deeper going on.
And the Native Americans, there's those stories of the scalping, right? I wonder if there's more to it than just, you know, they're just inflicting pain on somebody, but they're actually taking their soul.
It was the biggest form of humiliation. You know, it was the worst thing that they could do to somebody. So yeah, it was humiliation on a much deeper level than yeah, you know, taking an element of their soul.
Yeah,
I mean, it was.
I knew, and I don't even know if Native American is politically correct to even say, but. Indigenous or what the politically correct term is, but I'll just say Native American. There was a Native American guy that I knew, and he wouldn't even let people touch his hair. It was like an ultimate disrespect for somebody to touch his hair. So what is hair made of? Oh, go ahead. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah, no, that's interesting. When I first went to Southeast Asia, I accidentally, there are these cute kids that came up to me and they were interested in me because I looked different from their families, and I patted them on the head, and that's a big disrespect. That's a big no-no in Asia. So
it's crazy how cultures are so different.
Yeah.
So what's hair made out of?
It's basically proteins. It's amino acid and water, and hair is an extension of the smooth keratinized squamous epithelium, which all that means is smooth muscle. It's an extension of the muscle. So it's basically the same thing, although you could say that for every tissue in the body, that they're all made up of the same stuff. They just look different. It's really interesting how the body figures out how to grow nails versus, you know, skin versus hair, because it's actually all the same stuff. But it's minerals and water is what it is. And and compounded proteins, amino acids.
Is the structure changing when, I want to get into like gray hair now, but let's say that for later, because I'm sure that's going to be a deeper topic. So proteins, minerals, and if you eat more, does your hair grow faster? How can people make their hair grow faster?
Yeah, so nutrition is a big part of it. We have so many stressors today that we didn't have 100 years ago, a lot more electromagnetic radiation, blue light, water, food has diminished. So there's a lot more stressors today, but typically you can correlate someone with really healthy hair, you know, to their overall health. So it does start with nutrition. I will say this, it may be controversial, but I often see recovering vegans who are trying to regrow their hair. It's one of the first things that it's just not enough protein for most people. I can't speak for all.
Right.
So that is a big demographic that tends to lose their hair.
Is there anything like, you know, the stuff that you see in the commercials, like red light therapy, or is there anything like that helps people grow their hair faster, or supplements?
So we do use a lot of supplements in the program. I try to target them as best as I can to the person based on the results. I'll give a big hint that the fat soluble vitamins, you know, the way that I look at supplements are, you got vitamins A, B, C, D, E, and K. And so the fat solubles, E and K and A and D, I try to get those from whole food sources. So like cod liver oil for A and D, beef liver, E and K in isolate. But then we're trying to target where else there might be hormonal imbalance. Those are great supplements to start with, but it gets complex. And I try to do this. I use a ton of techniques. I also do this homeopathically. So I'm trying to give the body the energetic information as well and help slow down, you know, sympathetic responses. So it's a very holistic approach. And what I tell people too is there are a lot of people who do what I do, who can test the hair, who can do supplements and homeopathic remedies. What I will teach my clients is how to grow hair with their mind. And what they say is, well, that sounds like BS. And I said, well, how's worry and anxiety working for your hair?
Mm-hmm.
So if worry and anxiety reduce hair, well, they'll say, well, okay, it's just simple subtraction. Let's get rid of worry and anxiety. Well, no, you have to balance the other side of the equation to actually add something back in. You have to fill that with something. So yes, getting rid of worry and anxiety is a huge part of this, but you have to put back in the right information. And that's part of it as well.
Right. So you mentioned your programs. Your website is crazyhairchemist.com, right?
Yep, that's it.
And then Jason's Instagram is also Crazy Hair Chemist. And it's funny because as you're talking about this in, I mean, I would even say almost esoteric, but it's straight up just like you should be joyous and loving, right? But for most people, they think that that's woo-woo. But I was thinking that your Instagram, as I was looking at, was Crazy Hair Alchemist, because it's it just sounded like that. So I was just putting that in there and I was like, oh no, it says chemist. So,
oh, cool. Yeah. That's cool.
But,
appreciate that. I used to, my company used to be called, or the operating company was called Alchemy Method.
Oh, nice. Yeah. So that word kept on popping up in my head. I had to keep on reading your title slowly. I'm like, it says chemist, not alchemist.
That's cool. Appreciate that.
But, so you've got some programs that you help people regrow their hair naturally. So we talked about growing hair. What about hair loss? Is there, I'm sure it's the same thing, but is there any way that people can prevent or even treat hair loss once it's already done?
Yeah.
It's already been lost.
You also mentioned some of the devices online. I do recommend ways to stimulate stem cells. A lot of people use red light. That's great for holistic health. But if you're able to get sunlight, that's a full spectrum light. So right. I try to help people not overcomplicate things. You're getting one part of the spectrum with red light, and it is very healing, but you know, go out and get some sun where you can. So what happens, the question was, what happens with hair loss? What can you do to stop once it's already?
Treat it. Yeah. Either prevent or treat. I guess they're different things. So let's hear the, your opinion on that.
Yeah. They probably are different things. You do have to approach it a little bit differently once it's already, you know, the best time to deal with it, to deal with hair loss is when it's acute. And I tell clients this too, if they're like, especially the men, if they're completely bald and it's a 20-year-old problem, it's unlikely that this method, this holistic approach will grow back. It could, I have seen some pretty interesting things, but, you know, the younger the problem, the better it is to deal with it. Once you have hair loss, a lot of people will be afraid. I hear this all the time. They'll be afraid to like wash their hair because they'll have so much hair shedding. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I coach on is that you actually have to get through that. Because you do need to massage and stimulate the scalp. Blood flow is a big part of this as well. And it's jarring and daunting because it may cause more hair shed, but that hair is not going to stay anyway. So, you know, making sure that you're taking care of your scalp, because what happens is, in very simple terms, and a lot of experts know this, is that you're basically, and I think the key mineral is calcium, but you're basically blocking nutrients from coming into the hair. You're creating almost a calcified shell for one reason or another, and that's why it's not growing. So part of it is stimulating it, going outside in and inside out. So some of the, you know, the oils are good too, but it won't correct the problem. A lot of people use rosemary oil. I mean, all those home remedies are good, but you do need to do it from the inside out as well.
So calcium, what about like the zinc and copper? Does that have anything to do with those?
Yeah, absolutely. Zinc, excess zinc is a classic symbol for, or biomarker for excessive hair loss. Lack of copper is usually, it's metabolic. It's important in every cellular function in metabolism. So is zinc. But so the truth is all the minerals are at play. And hair is really a side effect of that, working in unison.
So what I notice is in guys, they look healthy, their hair is full, but then there's like this strip right? There's like this strip at the very top of their head where it looks like it's there's less hair, and you can actually even see like individual strands because there's so little of it. When that is that what you would consider like acute, and is there a way to reverse that? Because that, you know, when I'm looking at it, it looks like 10, 20 years down the road, that's going to just all be completely bald, and then you just have the sides of the hair.
Yeah, it's interesting that for men, it does start in the front of the head. And this is also where we hold worry and anxiety. It's right in the prefrontal cortex. Like this is kind of where we feel that heat. Yeah, that is the time to start. I have had many clients that, and including myself, that's where it was starting. I was able to salvage most of it. Yeah, you can get that back for sure.
Is there a difference between like if it's here or it's like the top corner back here or other places?
Yeah, I've wondered that myself. 'Cause I've wondered that myself because I have had clients with perfect hairlines, and they're kind of starting with that patch in back. And I do wonder if there's a hormonal connection. I honestly am not certain on it, but I've thought of it also.
All right. Could you give us a little hint of anything practical people can do to either grow hair faster or increase like something specific? I know that you said like increase minerals, increase nutrition. Maybe if they're vegan, make sure they're getting more protein. But anything else? Like is there any weird things like massaging it a certain way? Techniques like that work?
I think it does. Once you're giving the body the right information through nutrition, through remedies, through supplements, getting the blood flow going, you know, I make it a point to massage my scalp every day. So if I'm in the shower, I don't wash my hair every day, maybe every other or every couple, but I'm doing a pretty vigorous massage pretty much every day. I'm brushing my hair every day. So massage across all experts is really important. And also exercise. And that's something we talk about in the program too. Even getting down and doing push-ups, anything that's inverting blood flow to the head is going to be really important for hair growth. So it all works together.
Really? Hanging upside down helps?
It does. I mean, it does. Absolutely. As long as you're getting the right information. But at the very least, you'll probably feel better and be having a happier day once you invert.
Is there anything that's coming down the pipeline? Like, is there any latest advances in hair science and technology that you're excited about that can help people with their hair goals?
Yeah, and it's another specialty. So I've started using patches that work on the body's own heat pathways and stimulate copper. And I found that it's augmented my protocol quite a bit, and it stimulates your own stem cells. I have seen recently, I'm curious about it, I don't know what the results will be, it sounds interesting, where they're able to use stem cell therapy through the dermis on the head, like directly. And I wonder if it'll be effective. It'll probably take away from what I'm doing, which is fine. Maybe I'll learn it. But I'm curious if that will work. There are still other options. They're just not without side effects and potential, potential harm.
Yeah. Do you talk to people about flakes on their scalp?
Yeah. Flaky scalp. Yep. Like dandruff and stuff.
Yeah. Talk to me a little bit about that.
Yeah, totally. Usually a systemic issue. usually something with thyroid or digestion. That's usually one of the first things that gets cleared up when I'm working with someone.
So you're working with the gut a lot, I'm assuming.
Well, everything, you know, the body does not work in an isolated system. It's a whole system. It's a whole system working in harmony. So that's one of the, you know, that's when we talk about a signal or one of the symbols that is showing some distress, you know, flakiness is one of them.
And what about gray hair? I'm graying a little. Well, I've been graying since I was 17 years old, and it's just been a gradual sort of thing for the last 24 years, I think, my age. So is there, I feel like graying should be something that's more reversible than losing hair. Is there anything people can do for graying, or what causes graying? I guess we should start there.
Yeah. What causes graying, in my understanding, is oxidative stress, excess peroxide, basically. Peroxide. It's literally hydrogen peroxide as a waste product in the cells that are causing graying. And I've found that working with certain clients, you can reverse some of it. It's not a perfect science. It doesn't always work, but I actually just spoke to a client today that we were working on his copper levels, and he noticed that his hair was a darker shade. So it's usually an indication of some oxidative stress. There are ways to slow it down. There are ways to add pigment back in, you know, through a program. It is connected to copper. That doesn't mean go out and take a bunch of copper. That probably isn't the right way. It's usually working again in a system, whether it's iron or calcium or zinc, you know, and figuring out all those levels at the same time. But that is my understanding. It's basically excess oxidative stress, but you know, there's an element too. My grandmother used to always say, you know, it's a blessing to go gray. I do think it is part of the natural aging process, but if it's a little bit premature, it's happening very quickly. If it's in combination with some sort of stress, you know, if it's out of the normal cycle, it's worth taking a look at, but I wouldn't necessarily admonish the whole thing.
Right. There's definitely, I have acceptance, but there's some people, once they get one gray hair, they're flipping out and they pull it out of their head, and then they find two more, and then they think that they're dying.
Yeah.
And they'll do, and then they dye their hair. So is there anything that you have to say about dyeing hair or bleaching hair?
Yeah, it's pretty toxic, honestly. I wouldn't do it. I've fortunately not been in a situation where I've ever needed to. But I've worked with plenty of clients who have had a history of coloring their hair or bleaching their hair, and that can cause further hair loss. So, you know, women are a little bit more adamant than men about that. But it's not good for you.
Right. I mean, you got the chemical toxicity, and everything that you're saying seems to be that it's about bringing your body back to a state of health from a physical standpoint, a mental standpoint, emotional standpoint. And if you're just dousing chemicals on your skin, probably not going in the right direction in those regards. So back to the gray hair, you did mention copper, zinc, and then you were talking about, like, don't just start taking copper supplements, because if you're doing a hair and tissue analysis, or hair tissue and mineral analysis, I'm sure you're looking at balancing everything at the appropriate levels, right? So it's not just more of certain minerals. You're looking for a balance, correct?
Yeah, it's any, absolutely, absolutely yeah, balance.
So is there anything? Is there anything that people can do that wouldn't require a hair, tissue, and mineral analysis so that they can know if they're out of balance? Is there any indicators that they might, or what are the indicators that somebody should go get a hair, tissue, and mineral analysis?
Well, usually they're coming to an alternative practitioner as somewhat of a medical reject, that they're not able to figure out their issue, you know, with a physician. And so it's another lens. I always say no test is perfect. You've got blood, which is the water of the body, urine and stool, which is the toxins, what you're excreting, and the hair is what you're storing on a simple level. So each one gives a window into the body. And you know, sometimes people are stuck basically, and I'll say this, the blood reference ranges, they've changed a lot. They've been very fluid, no pun intended, over the last several years, where they keep changing the references. And it'll either scare people into going, you know, to further specialists or you know, kind of keep them in a cycle. And what I'd say is don't put all your weight into these references. The question really that we need to be asking, and this is a bit more primitive, is how do you feel? Mm-hmm. You know, what's the reason that you're going to begin with? Because if you feel great and someone tells you that your bilirubin is high, you're not going to feel very good after that visit, you know? So, you know, getting back to basics is always the best form of sophistication.
What's bilirubin?
It's a routine blood test. It's a marker for the liver. It's a protein in the liver, and it measures how well it has to do with your heme levels, so iron, and it has to do with how well you produce bile. And those ranges, you know, people often fall under or over, but it some of them can cause stress. I guess it really depends what you're looking to do, but there's certainly a trend, and I'm sure from your listeners as well, is taking ownership of our own health. We know that the medical system is great for emergencies, but not really for health.
Right. Right. They're not health oriented. It's sick care.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
What do you recommend for a schedule of shampoo and conditioner or even type?
Yeah, I try to use as many whole foods as possible. So North American Urban Spice is made from all whole foods. Sometimes that irritates people's scalp. If they have itchy red scalp, there's usually a liver. Liver is another pathway that will indicate that. I love to use Johnny Slicks. Their original scent is pretty gender neutral. So a schedule, just not every day. Some people's scalps are oily, more oily than others. I know growing up, I was a swimmer, so we had to wash our hair every day because we were basically bathing in chlorine. So, you know, sometimes it's unavoidable, but try to, you know, try to give some days in between. And, you know, going back to that massage, using the natural oils of the scalp, where you're kind of shampooing your scalp without any shampoo. You're using your own natural oils. Mm-hmm.
And so you have shorter hair. So you even brush your hair. Because when my hair was your length, I never brushed it ever. Didn't own a comb, didn't own a brush. But you even think that with short hair, brushing the hair is important.
Yeah, we're not really brushing our hair. We're brushing our scalp. I mean, I guess people can style it, you know, and use a comb, and that's what most people think. But that's not really what a brush is for. In the same respect, you're actually moving the lymph on the scalp. You're making it feel like it's breathing. And if any of your listeners don't know what that means, they haven't done it. they haven't, you know, made that their scalp feel like it's breathing, either with their fingertips or their comb. It's important. That's really what it's for. In the same respect that it's important to, you know, to move our bodies, to massage our bodies, you know, to get movement. And that's why dry brushing is also so effective. I haven't done that in a while. I've been slacking on that. I can't do it all, but it's the same concept. I'm not looking to brush the hairs on my arm. I'm looking to move the lymph.
Right. I definitely know what it is like to brush my head as my hair got longer, and it feels very, very good. And so it's definitely something that I could have been doing with shorter hair, because it definitely feels like it's opening up that whole part of my body. Is your video still on? Because I don't see you. But
my video is still on, and there's a little bit of a lag.
Okay. It should still be recording. You're good then.
Yeah. I have a question for you, Ra. You've got great hair. What do you do to work on your hair? Is there anything special?
Yeah. So there is nothing special. It's most of the stuff that you're talking about as the remedy. That's what my entire life is. I'm in the health and wellness. I've been in the health and wellness field for my entire adult life. So I've been paying attention to diet. I work with superfoods and herbs. I try not to overdo it, but definitely most of my life I overdid the natural herbal supplements. So there might be an abundance of that, but my mindset is pretty dialed in. Emotional intelligence I've worked on my entire life as well. I went to school for psychology. And I just really love myself and love my hair. And even though my hair is like, it gets annoying, you know, and it's all over the place. I shut it in the car doors. I sit on it. I have to stay away from the stove because it's going to catch on fire, because it'll fall into the flame. So there's like all of these opportunities for me to be annoyed with my hair. And I really feel that it's important to, you know, when you have to wash your hair, right? Like there's all these times that like this kind of gets in the way of convenience. And I find that even just appreciating it in all of those moments, and despite all of those moments, is really important to keep it. Because if you're constantly looking at your hair as a chore or something that you have to lug around, or that you have to brush, that you have to wash, then, you know, you're going to create a reality where it's not there anymore. And there's something inside of me that feels like that's important as well.
Amen, brother. I mean, you actually said something that like all of it really resonated. And one moment in particular, you said, I love myself and I love my hair. It's not, you know, and I've been trying to hopefully convey this throughout the talk here, is that it's not different. Anytime you're isolating one part of yourself, as you said, and showing anything but love, you're diminishing. So if your hair, one of the things that's in my program too is affirmation about not only loving yourself, but loving what you have, loving what you got, loving your hair. And I find that a lot of people will be frustrated with themselves or with one part of themselves, which will put them in a perpetual cycle. So it's not different. Yeah, I think that self-love is really, really important. And everything that we're manifesting in this physical body.
You talked a lot about blood flow, and I feel like that's also something that I've been naturally doing as a result of my habits. I've been in the exercise world. I'm not really doing any traditional gym stuff right now, but there is a lot of like, if I do anything, it's yoga a few times a week. And in yoga, you're pretty much upside down the whole time in downward dog. And so I like this, my hair feels like my arm. Like it definitely feels like a part of me, not just like some dead cells. Actually, I never asked you about that. People, hairstylists mostly, right? So if I make a post on hair being, you know, anything but just some like dead cells off my body, hairstylists go nuts. Purpose. Are these dead? You can answer that however you want. Like, are these just dead cells that are just coming out of our body just for, I don't even know what they think it is if they say the word dead. But what do you have to say?
Yeah, I would definitely. Like a dead thing? Yeah, I would not use the word dead. I would say maybe dormant. Mm-hmm. Not dead. It exists. It's stored potential energy. It can go into the body and out at any time we need it. So if we have,
that's
so basically. I would say, yeah, I would say dormant, not dead. No.
The way that you say that hair is storage is out of, I've just never come across that before. And it's true. And it makes sense. And it just makes sense from an efficiency standpoint of what our body can do. It would definitely store minerals in here. And that's what graying is, right? If there's a lack of nutrients or in your body, or you're overly stressed and your body has to pull extra minerals or extra energy, it's going to strip your hair and it's going to gray or not be able to stay there and it's going to fall out. And so that resonates and it sounds like truth to me, and that's something I've never even thought of. And that brings a whole new meaning of what hair is. It's like a suitcase of minerals and nutrients that the body can use if it needs it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it, you know, it also has that action potential to, you know, sense, you know, it's sensory also. So I, you know, we started out this conversation. I think there's hundreds of functions for hair that we're not even aware of, but it is, yeah, I like that analogy, Rob. That's cool. You know, and I was thinking too, maybe it does feel good to cut the split ends, you know, the strands that grow out. There is something that refreshes the whole look of hair, especially when you have longer hair like yourself, or women especially, they have long hair and they cut the dead ends, kind of the whole picture looks more vibrant. Mm-hmm. So I wonder that what that is. That's kind of like pruning a tree, I think.
Exactly. So I haven't cut my split ends, but like my wife just did it. She cut off 3 inches and she was just talking about split ends. I'm still skeptical about cutting the ends off. But every woman that I've ever talked to says that it's good for the hair. It makes it healthier.
Yeah.
And then when I take care of a lot of plants, and I do make sure that if the leaves are going brown, like the plant doesn't want that anymore. And it seems to be happy if you get rid of the dead leaves or the dying, like the ends, if you cut those off. And so I haven't taken that step yet. I definitely have split ends and I can see breakages on the ends of my hair. And I would also say that my hair does look a little bit dull. So I know that if I ever do cut it off, I'll see the difference.
Maybe. Well, not
happy. We'll see.
Not from this side. Yeah. Let me know what happens if you decide to do it. And yeah, you'll have to check back in. That's an interesting phenomenon also.
Right.
With haircuts, and it always feels different.
Because that means that it's not just, you know, coming out the scalp and then it's just sort of staying there and and the information is just coming from the scalp out, that means that the whole hair itself has some sort of intelligence that's communicating through the whole strand.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. And it's a 3 month, it's typically or a 3 month window in the hair tissue mineral analysis. You're getting a 3 month snapshot, which is the longest. Hair tests were traditionally used for drug testing because it was stored the longest in there. They would tell if people were on marijuana before it was, you know, before it was legalized. So yeah, you said it. There's a lot more intelligence. There are markers in the hair for blood sugar regulation. So diabetics will have a very different reading. And, you know, you can't always size someone up through their hair. That I've noticed. You can't figure out, you can't scan them exactly. You can find people with very poor liver and kidney function, whatever, who have a full head of hair, but they often do parallel.
And you mentioned copper too. And every time I hear about copper and hair, I think about copper wires. And maybe there's some sort of wire, like maybe these are acting as wires or antennas in a way. But that's all stuff that is kind of just, you know, old yogis and gurus might say it, but the science hasn't gone in that direction yet.
It hasn't proved it. I would say that it's there. This is kind of related, but there was an experiment recently done where they were able to find that plants were an incredible lie detector test.
Yeah.
They were able to tell when someone was lying based on how they responded to certain stimuli. And I think it goes back to, you know, the hair standing up on the back of your neck. Women often feel threat, you know, and they'll feel it, you know, usually, you know, right here or in their hair, like that they kind of know when there's danger.
So the lie detector test is like that galvanic skin response, like it's measuring the something on the skin, right? And so you're saying that, because I know they hook those up to plants as well, and that's what they use to like have a plant sing, or they can kind of tell whether a plant is stressed or not. If you cut off a leaf, you can see that the plant is responding to it. So you're saying that they're actually hooking plants up like that and sitting them next to a person. And if the person is saying lies, that the plant responds a certain way versus truth.
Yeah. And I don't know the full extent of the methods, but that was the premise. It was done through the CIA. And
right.
I mean, that's really fascinating. And I think we have, you know, similar abilities. And I think it does extend. I love that idea of the antenna, because that relates to that whole indigenous, you know, Native American idea.
I think I know the studies you're talking about, and they actually can respond to like other plants dying, or if like a landscaper comes in that, you know, just got done destroying a bunch of plants, all the plants in the room start getting really stressed out. Or there was one time where the researcher, I think the whole thing started because he had the plants set up and he had like hot boiling water that he poured into the sink and killed the mold in the sink. And that made the plants around all just go nuts because it was like responding to the life forms dying in the sink pipe. But so just like
that's phenomenal.
But you're saying that like there is science, it's not mainstream, that is saying that there's information being transferred throughout the field, and how do us as humans interpret it? And then you're also saying that hair standing on the back of your neck, sometimes that happens before something bad is happening in our life or something dramatic is happening in life, we have this sensation. Or if somebody walks in the room that has negative intentions, our hair picks it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's stuff that people can't ignore, you know?
No.
Like, you can't ignore it. It's like it happens in our life. If the crazy one is if somebody looks at you and then you, something inside you tells you that they're looking at you, and you look up, or you look at somebody and they look at you. Like, what is that? Like, what's the function there?
I've once seen it described as electromagnetic waves, basically energy being directed at, and you're picking it up on the antenna. You're picking it up on your hair. You can feel someone looking at you. Mm-hmm. And the hair is the, I mean, here's another one. If you look at a cat and, you know, kids are like, God forbid someone cuts off their whiskers. I mean, that's how they manage. That's how they navigate.
Yeah.
So that's a more direct experience of how hair, basically a strong whisker, helps them, you know, mice and whatever, help them navigate, help them move and have sensation.
I'm going to look more into that. Like, what makes whiskers whiskers? Because you're right. They're like the superpowered hair.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So where can people get a hold of you? I did mention your website was Crazy Hair Chemist. I almost said Alchemist. CrazyHairChemist.com. Is there somewhere there that people can fill out a form? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
Yep, you can book a consultation if you're looking to looking into coaching, or find me on Instagram. Those are the two best ways.
Amazing. Anything else you want to add before we pop off?
No, this has been awesome. Thanks, Rob. This has been such a cool conversation.
Yeah, a lot of things came up that were new to me, so I'm super happy that happened. And it's good to hear that you are open-minded. And I heard that in a lot of the statements that you said, that it's not, you know, you're not assuming that you know what's going on, but you're exploring and you're sharing your information, and you're completely open to, like you said, there's probably 1,000 things that our hair does that we don't know. You're open to receiving that. That's the essence of an expert who's growing, and not one who's just like sitting back in the chair and trying to maintain what they've discovered in their life.
Yeah, appreciate that. Thanks for the kind words.
Amazing. So we're gonna pop off here. Thanks everybody for listening, and find Jason online.